Like most of you, I have a smartphone. Now, as we know, there are many apps on a smartphone, but one of them is actually the phone app. You can use a smartphone as a phone. And one of the options, when you click on the phone app, one of those icons that appears at the bottom of the screen is labeled Favorites. You click on that, and in my case at least, you get about a minion of names. You can add more, you can take some away. And these are what are called frequently dialed numbers. In my case, of course, it includes my wife, my kids, the shul. But interestingly, two of the numbers on my favorites list, I don't dial frequently. In fact, I don't ever dial them. These two numbers are the numbers for my mother, who passed away just last summer, and my sister-in-law, who passed away this past spring. A couple of months after my mother died, it occurred to me to delete her contact from my favorites list. But I thought to myself, how can I do this? She's not my favorite anymore? What would it mean to delete that contact from that list? Now, on some level, it's ridiculous. After all, in this particular case in particular, unlike just about any other phone number on my list, I actually know that one by heart. It's the number of the phone that was in the house in which I grew up. I've known that number for 50-some years. You know, and especially I'm speaking to the young people among us, before you could call someone by touching a spot on a phone, you actually had to dial a phone. You actually had to know in your brain the number of the person you were calling. And my home phone number was the first number I ever memorized. So it's up here. It's not going anywhere. And indeed, the other information on my contact card from my mother is also up here. Her snail mail address, I actually know it by heart. It's a funny thing. So frankly, of all the contacts in my phone, hers is truly superfluous. Yet, it's also the most essential one on my contact list, at least now. Because in this year or so after her death, I still find myself thinking about her quite frequently. On some level, I can't believe she's gone. The same is true in a similar, though not identical sense, of my sister-in-law. I cannot simply yet declare that she's not among my favorites. Now, the other day, I was scrolling through my contacts, not my favorites, but my general contact list. And lo and behold, I came upon my father's contact, who died 18 years ago. It's no longer a favorite, but it's still on the list. So I guess that's a sign that one day, that's what will happen to my mother's and my sister-in-law's contacts. They will somehow, over time, cease to be favorites, but they will slip over into the large collection of names of friends, relatives, acquaintances, both living and dead, with whom I want to maintain contact. Isn't that why we're here today? Because even after we suffer a loss, we still think about our loved ones. It's natural. It's good. We want to remain connected to them. We want to stay in contact with them somehow. And Yizkor provides a context for that. We take a few minutes, four times during the year, to reflect on who they were, how they influenced us, if they did, how we influenced them, if we did. We reflect on our relationships with those who have passed, and we think about how we treat the living.